All right, so we'll say good morning or good chodesh to everyone. So today's shiur is sponsored by Gabi and Shane Cohn, in creation of the yard site of Gabi's grandfather, Mr. Axman Zichron Levracha, Meir Ben Mordechai. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. Let's pick up today's daf is Zayin. We're picking up on Vav Amud Beis, says the Gemara at Ella Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov. So a lot to do today. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, it's okay, it's going to go quickly. It says, remember, we had a machlokas, we started off yesterday with an interesting machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in terms of how we evaluate the damages. Everyone agrees that when somebody damages another, so you have to go ahead and pay with meitav. You have to pay with the best of your field. The only shaila is what? The best of whose field? So remember again, we saw Rabbi Shmuel said, we go after the best of the field of the nizak, the damaged party, versus Rabbi Akiva comes along and says that you pay from the mazik, the best of the field from the damager. Listen, I just want to be clear, just a point of clarification on this. You understand that the value of the damages is the value of the damages, meaning that if, you know, Reuven goes in and damages Shimon, the damages is valued at $1,000. The shaila is, in the event that Reuven wants to pay back Shimon in land, what kind of land does Reuven have to pay back in? That's the machlokas. So the Torah, well, no machlokas. The Torah says you have to pay back with edus. You have to pay back with the best land. The shaila is, okay, whose valuation do we use for best? Do we look at the best land of the damager and we say, okay, you have to pay back with $1,000 of your type of best land? Or do we look at the best land of the damaged party and say that becomes the valuation? But again, I just want to be clear that the amount of the damages, Baruch Haba, the amount of the damages ultimately is the same. It's just a question of the vehicle of payment. What are you paying him back with? So says the Gemara, Elam Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Acham Askin, and what's the case over here? Kigon Shahaisa Idis Denizik, Kiziburis Demazik. Oh, so the interesting case over here is where what? Is where the idis of the nizak, the best property, idis means the best property of the nizak, the best property ultimately of the damaged party, is kiziburis de mazik, is like the most inferior land of the mazik. In other words, the mazik is much wealthier than the nizak, and in this case over here, the idis of the nizak is just like the ziburis of the mazik. So he says, "Let's watch this." Ubahap again. This is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Shmuel Savar B'dinizak Shaminon. So Rabbi Shmuel says, when we say Meitav, when we say that you have to pay back with the best of the property, so it's the best of the property of the nizak, of the damaged party. Rabbi Akiva Savar B'demazik Shaminon, and Rabbi Akiva holds that no, you go ahead and you pay back with the mazik, with the idis, the best of the property, ultimately of the mazik. So says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yishmael, we'll say also understand for us, it's kind of hard to relate to this because we say to ourselves, you know, land is land is land. So remember, again, that's because when we think about land, so we're often from the conception of real estate, of you know, place where you're going to live. You understand, of course, from an agricultural perspective, so different types of land yields different type of crops. So the automatic assumption the Gemara also makes, although we'll challenge this later, is that a person would rather have a little bit of edis, than a lot of ziburis. I'd rather have a little bit of high quality land than I would ultimately have of a lot of more inferior quality land. So now the Gemara suggests over here the following, that the machlokas in Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva comes about in the following case, where the idis of the nizak, meaning the highest quality property of the nizak, is only the equivalent of the ziburis, the most inferior property of the mazik. So ultimately Rabbi Akiva holds, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel holds, but in Nizak Shaminon, we evaluate Meitav based on the property of the damaged party, and Rabbi Akiva holds with the mazik shaminon. We evaluate damages based on the property of the mazik. Says me, my time, Rabbi Shmuel. What's Rabbi Shmuel's logic? Why does Rabbi Shmuel hold with the nizak shaminon that we evaluate the meitav, based on the best property of the nizak of the damaged party? So we should also say this: ne'amar sada lamata, ve'ne'amar sada lamala. Look, it says sada. We'll say this. Interesting enough, the lamata lamala over here is the same pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kiaver ish sada okerem, V'shilach es bi'ira u'biar b'ste acher. Person will allow his animal to go out and cause damage in another field. Then it says, meitav sadehu u'meitav kamo yushalim. You shall pay the best of your field back in damage. It says, digimara, it says sadeh in the beginning of the pasuk, and it says sadeh at the end of the pasuk. Mas sadeh ha'amr le'mala dinizak, just like the sadeh that's mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk, refers to the sadeh of the damaged party. Af sadeh ha'amr le'mata dinizak, so too again when it says meitav sadehu, the sadeh at the end of the pasuk also means the nizak. Okay, pretty straightforward limud. Rabbi Akiva will say meitav sadeh, meitav kamal yishalim. Rabbi Akiva will say the pasuk says from the best of your field and the best of the vineyard you shall pay dehech de kamashalim. So ultimately that refers to the one who's paying, meaning the subject is the payee, or the payer I should say. The subject is the damager, and therefore the pasuk says meitav sadehu, meitav kamal yishalim. He shall pay from the best of his field. The his goes on the subject of that last phrase. The subject of the last phrase, the subject of the last phrase is the person paying the damages, i.e. the mazik. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva will say that lamaisi, you pay with the best of the fields of the mazik. Rabbi Yishmael will say, ahani gzir shava vahani kro. You need both the gzir shava. Both says, remember, the gzir shava is the sada. It says sada at the beginning of the pasuk, sada at the end of the pasuk. And the pasuk and the Quran, the pasuk itself, each teach me something. Ahani gzir shava kidekaimna. So Bishmael will say, look, listen, the gzir shava will help me for what we just said. That ultimately, again, if the ziburis of the mazik is like the idis of the nizak, that the mazik is able to pay with his ziburis. Ahani kra kigon the isle the mazik idis is ziburis. So ultimately, the pasuk comes to teach you the following situation. Let's say the mazik has idis and ziburis, the idis le nizak, and ultimately again, and the nizak, the damaged party, also only has idis. The ziburis the mazik lo shavya ki idis the nizak. Both say this is an interesting case. Let's say you go ahead. Remember, this is now Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that you pay like the nizak. Ultimately, again, you pay in accordance with the best of the damaged property, of the damaged party's property. So let's say the following case, where the mazik, the damager, has idis and ziboris, and the nizak ultimately only has idis. But the ziboris of the mazik is not like the idis of the nizak. So, okay, so just follow this, right? So essentially what's happening over here is that the damaged party only has two types of fields, idis and ziboris. Best quality, lowest quality. Remember, there's another category in here which is called Benoris, right? So again, he doesn't have that. He has the best or he has the most inferior. The problem over here is that the nizak only has idis. Now remember, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you're paying in accordance with the idis of the nizak. So in this case over here, the problem is that I, the damager, have to pay in accordance with the idis of the nizak. What's the problem? The problem is my idis is better than his idis. So that's not equivalent. The only thing I have is ziboris, right? So I might have thought that in that case, what could I do? I can go ahead and pay him with my ziboris because, again, my idis is more expensive than his idis. To which the Torah tells me, the mishalim le meitav didei. In that case, I still have to pay him with my idis. The lo matzi amar le ta'at gabei miziboris, and I don't have the right to go ahead and tell the damaged party to go ahead and collect from ziboris. Ella gabi mimetav. Rather, again, in that case, he has the ability to collect from idis. So in this kind of case, essentially, where the damager does not have property that is equivalent to the metav, to the idis of the nizak, so the damager only has something that is superior or inferior. Meitav teaches me that the damager is obligated to pay with the superior property that he owns. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, lo ba akasa al ligvos lenezikin min ha'idis. Rabbi Akiva made a statement before in the Braisa, and Rabbi Akiva said, the Pasuk only comes to teach me that nezikin, that damages are collected from idis, that you have to pay damages again from superior property, and that's a kavachomer from hekdish. So says the Gemara, my kavachomer lehekdish. What does that mean? What's the kavachomer to hekdish? So says the Gemara. Listen to this. Ilema dinagach tura didan torah de hekdish. If you want to say it's a case of where my shor gored the shore of Hekdish. And Rabbi Akiva is telling me that I have to pay back with Idis. You're supposed to listen to this. This is a wild halacha. Shor re'ehu amrachmana v'lo shor shel Hekdish. You're supposed to say, this is amazing. The halacha is, according to Rabbi Akiva, that if you go ahead and you gore a shore of Hekdish, you're putter. Right, your putter. Now, that's incredibly unique to us because normally Hekdish is treated more chumra than anything else. Yet in this particular case, if my shore gores a shore of Hekdish, I am putter. Why am I putter? I totally get off on a technicality. Because the pasuk says, shor re'ehu. When speaking about the laws of damages, it talks about if my ox damages my fellow's ox. Chazal understood that's coming to exclude what? A shor shel Hekdish. That if my ox gores a shor shel Hekdish, that I'm exempt based on a technicality. Rather, I must talk about the following case, where I make a pledge to the Beis HaMikdosh. I say, I'm giving a mona to Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis means temple upkeep. The Asi Gizbar v'shakil me'idis, where the Gizbar, right, the temple treasurer, has the ability to go ahead and take that pledge from Idis, from the best property. Someone says, well, why is that so? Lo yehe ele balchov. We'll say, if I make a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash, that's no different than owing a debt to anyone else. And what's the halacha when it comes to general debts, type of zayin, u balchov bebeinonis, right? A balchov only has to pay back with beinonis. We'll say, that's just the halacha of balchov. Right? That if you owe someone money, you're only obligated to pay back in beinonis. So maybe you'll say, maybe Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that Rabbi Akiva holds that a Balchov pays back with Idis. One could raise a question. So we'll say, here's the difference. At least a Balchov, in other words, a general creditor, if he's collecting money because of damages, so ultimately, again, at least when it comes to damages, he has the ability to collect from Idis. Because of that, there's Hishayach to Idis, and maybe that's why Rabbi Akiva would hold that in general collections, he's able to collect from Idis. Tomar behegdish, shahora kocho benizikin. But also when it comes to Hekdish, Hekdish really never has a case where it could collect by Idis. Because remember, let's analyze this. If somebody damages Hekdish, Rabbi will say, what's talacha? What did we just say? Or at least again by Shar. If my Shar guards the Shar of Hekdish, what's talacha, Rabbi will say? I'm Potter. Right? I'm Potter. So meaning, again, to make the argument, therefore, that if one went ahead and borrowed money from it, or owes money to Hekdish, that it should be payable with Idis, doesn't seem to make sense. To which the Gemara says, no, here's the case. The Olam, we're supposed to remember, we're just trying to figure out Rabbi Akiva's statement. Right? Rabbi Akiva made the statement, ultimately, that the pasuk is only coming to teach me that Idis is collected from, that Nezikin, that damages is collected from Idis, right? And that's we learned it as a Kavachomer from Hekdish. All the Gemara is trying to figure out is what's the case Rabbi Akiva is referring to. To which the Gemara says, the Olam de Nagach Torah de Dan Torah de Hekdish. The case really is where my shore gored a shore of Hekdish. I, Udikakashi Lacha, Shore Eo Amrachmanav, Shore Shal Hekdish. I have one second, we said before that if my shore gores a shore of Hekdish, I should be putter. Why? Based on technicality, because the Torah says that it's only if my shore gores Shor Re'ehu, the shore of my fellow, that I am Chayiv, which means that if my shore goes ahead and gores the shore of Hekdish, that I am Potter. Esther the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Savla Krebshem Amenasya. I, but Rabbi Akiva, Krebshem Amenasya, because Rabbi Shem Amenasya says, Disanya. Rabbi Shem Amenasya Omer, Shor Shal Hekdish, Shenagach Shor Shal Hedyot. Rabbi Shem Amenasya says, that if a shor shel hekdish, a consecrated animal, right, animal belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, ox of the Beis HaMikdash, gores my animal, putter, then ultimately again, the shor shel hekdish is putter. The Bible says, now what's the logic of that? So logic is what we said before, because the pasuk says, ki igach shor re'ehu, ki igach shor re'ehu, right? Ultimately again, the ox of hekdish is not called the ox of my fellow, it's called the ox of hekdish. So if the hekdish ox gores my ox, the Beis HaMikdash is potter. However, shal hedyot shenagach shor shal hekdish. Aye, but if a regular shor, let's say my regular shor, gores a shor of hekdish, bein tam, bein muad, mishalim nezek shalim. It will say whether my shor is a tam or a muad, meaning a first-time offender or a habitual offender, ultimately it has to pay full damages. Now, both of you understand the incredible novelty in that. Because remember, again, we've established that what? We've established that lamaisa, although we haven't seen this, we haven't learned this sugya, but we've seen it mentioned already a number of times, which is that what? Which is that the first three times an animal gores, it's called a tam, and that first three times, what does it pay? Chatzi nezek. It's only from the fourth time and on that it pays nezek shalim. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that what? That lamaisa, again, that's only when one shor is goring another regular shor. But if a shor is goring a shor shal hekdish, there's a responsibility for full damages from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, Rabbi Shav, Rabbi Akiva, mimai de be'idis de nizak v'ziburis de mazik v'ligi. So we'll say, remember, let's go back for just a moment. So in yesterday's daf, and we continue this today, we had a machlokas in Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Remember, what was the machlokas in Rabbi Akiva? Ultimately, again, how to interpret the phrase, Meitav sadehu u'meitav karma yishalim, that you have to pay back from the best of the field, the best of your vineyard. So Rabbi Yishmael understood that to mean that means meitav shal nizak, that when paying back damages, we pay back damages from the best of the damaged party's property. In other words, the damaged party's property serves as the baseline for evaluation of what's going to be the idis that's repaid. That's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva said, no, we evaluate it based on the mazik, based on the damaged property. Now remember, the way the Gemara wanted to settle the machlokis is where what? Where the idis of the nizak was like the ziburis of the mazik. Right? Where let's say the best of the property of the damaged party was the equivalent to the most inexpensive property of the damager. That was going to be the machlokes in Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shmuel will say, we go after the property of the damaged party, and Rabbi Akiva will say, we go after the property of the damager. So the Gemara says, who says that's the machlokes? So maybe Dilma, the Kuli Alma B'din Izak Shaiminon, maybe both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel both agree that what? That's when evaluating damages, we evaluate the damages based on the nizak, based on the damaged party's property. So what are they arguing about over here? V'hacha, be'plukta d'Rab Shimon b'Menasya, v'Rabbanon k'mefligi. I will say, maybe here the machlokis is the machlokis of Rab Shimon b'Menasya and the Rabbanon. I will say, remember, the machlokis of Rab Shimon b'Menasya and the Rabbanon is the machlokis as to whether or not you have to pay hekdish when you gore the shore of hekdish. The Rabbanon say that if you gore a shore of hekdish, then what? Then lemaisa again, there's no obligation to repay. But on the other hand, the Rabbi Shimon Menasya holds that lemaisa again, you are chayiv to pay. Again, I both say, so fundamental machlokas. So maybe Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are not arguing on netav, on nizak versus mazik, versus as to whether or not what's the halacha when it comes to a shor shel hekdish. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Savar Rabbi Shimon Menasya, Rabbi Akiva Savar Rabbi Shimon Menasya, Rabbi Shmuel Savar Rabbanon, and Rabbi Shmuel ultimately holds like the Rabbanon. So maybe that's the machlokas. Imke, my lo ba kasuv. So we'll say, so first of all, then what's the meaning of that phrase that Rabbi Akiva says, lo ba kasuv ela ligvos lenezikin min ha'idis? What does that phrase mean? That the pasuk only came to allow for collection of damages from idis va'od my kavachomer lehekdish. Furthermore, what's the meaning of the phrase when it says the kavachomer lehekdish va'od ha'am Rav Ashi tanya behedja? Furthermore, we'll say Rav Ashi quoted this machlokes explicitly. What's the machlokes? Meitav sadehu umeitav karmo yishalim. The pasuk says he shall pay back with the best of his field and the best of his vineyard. Meitav sadehu shal nizak. Umeitav karmo shal nizak tivi Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds a bosai that the basis for valuation is the best field of the damaged party. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, meitav sadeo shal mazik, umeitav karmo shal mazik. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds that no, we look at the best land, the idis, ultimately of the damaging party, and the best of the field, ultimately of the mazik, of the damager. So both say, so it turns out that the fundamental machlokes that we originally thought was unfolding is in fact still unfolding. We'll say this perhaps, we're going to get to the halacha lemaisa on this in just a little bit, but this perhaps is one of the most yisodistic machlokesim when it comes to damages. Everyone agrees that when you damage someone, you have to pay back with the best of your property. The shayla is, whose valuation of best are we using? Are we using, like Rabbi Shmuel says, the damaged party's valuation of best? We look at his property and we see the best of his fields and use that as a basis for valuation. Or do we look at the best, ultimately, again, of the damager? of the damager and go ahead and use his best field as the basis for evaluation. That's the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Shaul, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Bide nizak shayminan, damaged party serves as the basis of evaluation." Rabbi Akiva says, "Bide mazik shayminan, damager serves as basis for evaluation." So again, so that's how we're ending off that machlokes. We'll resolve it in just a little bit. Rabbi the Abaye the Rabbah. So Abaye brought up a question to Rabbah. Ksiv, on one hand it says, "Meitav sadeyu u'meitav karmo yishalim." So on one hand the pasuk says that the damager shall pay from the best of his field, from the best of his vineyards. Meitav in midyach v'nilo. So what that sounds like is that you can only pay from the best of your land. So what's interesting is the following. The way the pasuk sounds is that when you damage someone, when my animal damages someone else, that my only option to pay is from what? It's from real estate. It's from land. Sounds like I can't pay with anything else. On the other hand, Vatanya, we learned, the pasuk says, Yoshiv, it says, Bal habar yishalim kesef, Yoshiv l'ba'alav. Somebody damages another through a bar. So the pasuk says that the owner of the pit shall pay money, ultimately restitution, to the injured party. Yashiv lebaalav. What do we learn from Yashiv? So the Gemara says, Vatan Yashiv lerabos shave kesef. That comes to teach me that I could pay with even the equivalent of money. Va'afilu subin. I could even pay with bran. I will say subin bran is considered to be a very inferior item. So what's the idea that the Brice is teaching me? The Brice is teaching me, no, you're not limited to repayment in land, in karko, in real property. You could repay with anything, as long as what? As long as you pay. As long as it has value and you pay. So we'll say, so now we have an inherent contradiction. Meitav, the pasuk seems to tell me that based on the pasuk, I could only pay back in real estate. And the only machlokes is what type of real estate I can use for the purposes of repayment. On the other hand, the Brisa seems to indicate to me, Yashiv, the other pasuk seems to indicate to me, that I can pay back with anything, even bran, as long as it has a value that's equivalent to the damages. To which the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan mi daito, kan bal karcho. Both said, it's actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, mi daito, So this is actually fascinating. The Gemara wants to make a suggestion, a distinction between whether or not you paid of your own volition, or did the damaged party have to drag you to court. So it could be that if you're a mensch, and if you do damage, you pay of your own volition without having to go to Beis Din, then you could pay whatever you want. In other words, that the reward for being a mensch is that you can go ahead and pay for however, with whatever you want, as long as the value of what it is that you're paying is the equivalent of the damages. But if you cause the damaged party to have to take you to Beis Din, then what? Then you're going to have to pay with land. It's almost like there's a certain penalty for having been drawn to Beis Din in order for the damaged party to get their restitution from you. So Amar Ula. So we'll say that's answer number one. So Amar Ula Breid Rabbi Loi Tekanami Dechsev Yeshaleim Bal Karcho. So Ula likes this because he says, even the lashon of Yeshaleim sounds like ultimately, again, it's a lashon ultimately of Bal Karcho, of against his will. To which the Gemara says, Amar Le'Abaye, in other words, that he's being forced to pay. Amar Le'Abaye, Miksiv Yeshulam. No, if it wanted to say a Lashon of Bal Karcho, being forced to pay, it would have used Lashon of Yeshulam. Yeshalim Ksiv, Midaito Mashma. Yeshalim means that a person is paying of his own volition. Ela Amar Abaye. So therefore, Abba said, therefore, Abaye doesn't like this first interpretation. Right? So the first interpretation of how to reconcile the Pasuk of Meitav and the Pasuk of Yashiv, because remember, the Pasuk of Meitav seems to tell me I could only pay back with real estate, with property. The Pasuk of Yashiv seems to indicate I could pay back with anything. So possible resolution number one is, it depends how you're paying. If you're paying of your own volition, you have the right to pay with whatever you want. If you're being forced to pay, and the knas are being halted based, then ultimately he's going to have to pay with real property. So Abaye doesn't like that. Ela Amar Abaye Kidimar. Rather, Abaye says like this, this sanya, hari shahayulu batim sado sukhram. Rabbi says another fascinating case. Let's say a person had fields, homes, fields, vineyards. Ve'eno motse lemochron. Rabbi says the interesting case is, let's say, I can't sell them. In other words, I can't unload my property. So what happens? So here you have this interesting situation where a person might be assets rich, but cash poor. So meaning I have property, I have assets, but I have no money. I have no money. So the interesting shayla the Gemara is going to deal with over here is, are you permitted to give such a person Maaser Ani? So remember again, on certain years throughout the 7-year agricultural cycle, there's an obligation to set aside Maaser Ani, which is tithes to the poor. So am I permitted to give Maaser Ani to someone who has assets, but can't liquefy, is that the right word? Liquidate. Thank you. I guess you don't want to liquefy anything. Right. So liquidate his assets, right? So again, he has the property, but Lamaisa, again, he's cash poor. So can you give him, Rosa, it's a fascinating shayla, no? Because again, you know, on the balance sheet, so to speak, he's got a lot of stuff. But Lamaisa he might not have money to go to the supermarket. So what do you do with him? So the Gemara says, Machilin also Maaser Ani ad Nechtsa. You can give him Maaser Ani up to half of the value ultimately of his assets. Now what does that mean, up to half of the value? Now understand over here, the halacha when it comes, if you look at Rashi just a moment, Rashi, Misha Hayilo Sados Batim Ukramim, Shavim Asayim Zuz. The halacha is, you are entitled to go ahead and collect Maaser Ani if you have less than 200 zuz to your name. If you have less than 200 zuz to your name, you're considered to be a pauper, and you're permitted to go ahead and collect Maaser Ani. So interestingly enough, the case over here would be, the Gemara suggesting, Rashi, Tam Sex Peah, Mish Yesh La Masayim Zuz, Lo Yito Leket Shicho Peah Maaser Ani, the Lav Ani Hu, Venimta Goz Laniim, Hayu La Masayim Zuz Chasar Dina, Venasal Shava Elef, Vasachas, Hari Zay Yito. Fine, Vizet Yesh La Batim Salus Akram, Shav Masayim Zuz, Aval Ina Moti Limkor, Ma'achilin Osa Maaser Ani Ad Nechtsa, Shava Mea Zuz, Vekarka Osav Yimkor Be Mea Zuz, The Tfemi Pagolo Zaili, the Olam Vari Yesh La Masayim Zuz. So we'll discuss this in just a moment, but the idea where the Gemara is setting up a very simple case. I have property that's worth 200 zuz. The problem is I have no cash. So what's the halacha? So we'll give such a person like that 100 zuz of Maaser Ani with the understanding and expectation that he could liquidate his assets for at least 50% of their value, which I will say is an incredible yisur, but part of the musr in this also is about the need to try to do whatever is within one's possibility or abilities before taking tzedaka. This is the idea also, that even though this guy is going to encounter a loss by liquidating his assets, better to liquidate your assets than have to rely on the Maaser Ani. So it says the Gemara over here, so what we'll do is we'll have him, so we'll give him, let's say he has 200 zuz worth of property, we'll give him 100 zuz worth of Maaser Ani, and again, Rashi gets a little bit ahead of himself, the Gemara doesn't say this, we're going to see he could sell off his property, for an additional 100 zuz, and which by the way, that obviously brings him up to the threshold of 200 zuz, which puts him above the poverty line. So it says the Gemara, So let's say Emar asked the question, what's the case here? Hechi dami. So let's say if there's a real estate crisis and everyone's property has depreciated, so meaning if all real estate has gone down the tubes, then afilu tuva nami lisfule daha zul dekoli alma nami. So let's say if that's the case, that we should give him more than just 100 zuz, because here again there's a systemic issue, right? Meaning everybody's in the same boat, and the guy mamish is an ani. I mean, if the real estate market is depressed and property that was once worth X is now only worth Y, if it's only worth Y in the market, then lamaisa again he's an ani. Why only give him 100 zuz? Ela deokir ar asa dekoli alma. Listen to this, we'll say rather it's just the opposite. The real estate market is strong, and property values are going up. Well, so this is fascinating. But what's this guy's problem? This guy's problem is, everybody knows that he's in financial distress. How do they know that he's in financial distress? Because Lamaisa, he's going out looking to borrow money from people. So we'll say, so what happens in real estate when people know that the owner is in distress? So the vultures begin to circle, and they realize what? They're going to be able to get this property at a discount, because this guy is going to be forced to sell. So we'll say this is a fascinating case. So in this situation over here, the real estate market is strong, but this guy is compromised because word is out that he's in financial distress, and therefore Lamaisa, again, he can't get the right value for his property. So says the Gemara Amadeus, Afilu Porta Namilo Lisfule. So at the end of the day, if that's the case, then Lamaisa, why would we give him anything? Because it will say, remember, at this point in time, even let's say for argument's sake, he can't get the market value. Could he pull out 200 zuz from it? If he could pull out 200 zuz from it, then let him sell his property, even at a very steep loss, but lamaislam avoid taking it, getting the tzedakah. Rabbi say, I want to be clear on something. This, by the way, is speaking about a very specific form of tzedakah. This is talking about leket, shichecha, peya, meiser ani. Biblical entitlements ultimately to tithes. That's different than, let's say, general tzedakah. So, for example, you know, conventional wisdom says in general tzedakah, if a person has assets, you don't want him to necessarily liquidate all of his assets right now for the purpose of being able to pay his bills, because that might actually set him back in the long run. This is from a very specific level of biblical entitlements. Biblical entitlements are only there if you're below the poverty line. But if you are not below the poverty line, you can't. It's usur to take them. So therefore, again, in these cases, the Gemara is saying is, I understand that the guy wants to sell his field for 1,000 zuz. I got it. And the truth is, he probably could fetch that on the market, but because people know he's in distress, no one's offering him more than 200. I understand, but if he can get 200 for him, let him cash out, and he's above the property line. He should be able to take anything. So this is another fascinating answer. So the Gemara says, what's the case over here? So Mar explained, the case of Rabbi Osai is where, in general, on the real estate market, in Nisan, property values go up, and in Tishrei, they go down. Now, what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that is, if you purchase a field in Nisan, you still have the ability to plant the field for that year. As opposed to if you purchase a field in Tishrei, then what? You've already missed the planting season for that year. So therefore, again, in general, real estate is more expensive in Nisan than it is in Tishrei. And what happens? So the Gemara says, "Duchuli alma natri ad Nisan umezavni." So we'll say, so conventional wisdom is, if you have to sell real estate, wait until Nisan to sell, because you'll always get more for your, you always get more for your property in Nisan. Vahai, but this guy over here, but Rabbi say this person ultimately, again, who requires money now, will have to sell his field in accordance with Tishrei prices. Look at Rashi, zavin kidahashta, but Tishrei mishum de itzrich lezuzei. So this guy can Rabbi say now, whether it's, it could be that it's in Nisan right now, or it could be that right now again it's in Shvat, and he wants to hold out ultimately for Tishrei prices. Excuse me, for Nisan prices. But because of his distress, he may have to pay. He may have to sell in accordance with Tishrei prices. Rashi says zavin kidahashta, but Tishrei mishum de itzrich lezuzei. Hilchach ani lohavi diito shava elav dinar hoel v'yomi Nisan shavas karkosa masayim uva arshir lohavi hoel v'chuli amanami lohavi shavin hashda masayim hilchach mashlim lo ad masayim. So we're going to discuss what this means in just a moment. So watch this. So now this guy over here needs to sell his property at a reduced rate. He can't get Nisan prices. He's only going to get Tishrei prices. Ad palga or chelamezel. So we'll say when people have to liquidate their assets, person has to sell at a discount, so a person will sell up to a 50% discount. Tfei lav orcha lemezel. But I will say more than that, people aren't going to sell, because which makes sense at a certain point in time when the loss is so steep, it doesn't make sense to get rid of the property. So therefore, watch this. So the Gemara assumes over here that up to 50%, a person will go ahead and take the loss. Therefore, we'll say, now we understand the numbers before. Therefore, if the guy's holding on to a field of 200 zuz, so we're going to tell him, look, you know what, I understand you want to hold out until Nisan to be able to get Nisan prices. Truth is, but Pashas, you're not going to get Nisan prices. Why aren't you going to get Nisan prices? Because people know that you're in distress, and they're going to take advantage of your situation. It's just the way of the world. So what's going to have to happen is you're going to have to sell at Tishrei prices. So we assume that a person will never sell for more than a 50% loss. Therefore, if he has a field that's worth 200 zuz, the most he's going to end up selling, or the least amount that he'll take for it is 100 zuz, which tells us that ultimately, again, we'll give him 100 zuz of Meister Ani to bring him back over the poverty line. V'hachanami gabi nezikin. So we'll say, Sultan, this same concept applies by nezikin as well, by damages. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi for just a moment. V'hachanami gabi nezikin. Nami b'hachi mitar tzukra kegon debi yomei dinisan yakra aras b'yomei tishrei zil v'zol v'hizik b'tishrei shavemana u'baligbos mona mikarkos hamazik v'dino be'edis. So now we're going to analyze the same case by damages. Watch this. V'yachanami gabi nezikin dine be'edis. So Tzobos said, we know that when you damage another party, ultimately you're chayv to pay an edis, you're chayv to pay the best of the property. V'yamar le'ihu havli benonis tfei purta. So I'll say, let's say again, the damaged party says to the damager, listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I will go ahead and accept Benonis, at a little bit of a premium. In other words, if you don't want to pay me iddis, that's fine. I'm willing to take a little bit more beinonis land instead of iddis. So amarle, to which again the damager could say to the damaged party, ishaklis kidinach shakol kidahashta. If you want to go ahead, if you're going to take what's called, meaning if you want iddis, so ultimately again I'm going to give you iddis, the value of iddis as of today. If you want to make a deal for something you're not entitled to, I'm happy to do that, but what? Shakil kidiyukar delakame. You need to take it at Nissan prices, which are the more expensive prices. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. The halacha is that when one person damages another, so the halacha is they have to pay with iddis. If the damaged party says, listen, let's swing a deal, I'll take a little bit more beinonis instead of the iddis, which Rabbah said, first class sounds like a good deal, but lamaisa, again, the damager will say, listen, here's the deal. If I have to pay you iddis, I have to pay you based on the valuations today, whatever the value of the property is. If you're going to want a little bit more beinonis, if that's the deal you want, that's fine, but we're going to go in the beinonis according to Nissan prices. So we're going to go to beinonis according to appreciated prices, which means ultimately what? You're going to get less land for the same amount. So the Gemara says, Maskil Rachar Yaakov. So Rachar Yaakov says, 1 second, Imkein, Horasa Kochan Shal Nezikin Eitzel Beinonis Viziburis. If that's the case, that if the damaged party wants to collect from beinonis, you've compromised him. Right? In other words, then what that means is if the damaged party wants to collect from beinonis or from ziburis, you're telling me that the damager has the ability to say no problem, but we're going to use Nissan rates. To which the Gemara says, Dirachmana amra mimeitav, va'at amrit mi beinonis viziburis namilo. Because here, Rabbah said, we always thought that the Torah is giving the damaged party the upper hand, that he could even collect from iddis. See, that's how the Gemara is understanding it now. When the Torah says that you damaged party, you get to collect from iddis, we understand that to mean you can even collect from iddis. And now essentially what you're telling me is, yes, he can collect from iddis, but if he wants to collect from beinonis or ziburis, he's actually put at a disadvantage. So this is the Gemara says, rather, if you want to go ahead and compare it to anything, you have to compare it ultimately to a balchov, to a creditor. So the Gemara says, 1 second, balchov, dina b'beinonis. Let's analyze this. Remember, a balchov, a creditor, has the right to collect from beinonis. The amarle, havli ziburis tvei porta. So let's say the creditor says, listen, I know I'm entitled to collect from beinonis, but you know, here's the deal. Debtor, if you pay me back, I'll take a little bit more ziburis. Right? I'm willing to take a little bit more ziburis, and you don't have to pay for beinonis. Amarle, if shaklis kidinach shakol kidashta, to which the creditor could say, which the debtor, the borrower could say, listen, creditor, here's the deal. If you're going to take what you're entitled to, i.e. beinonis, I'm going to pay you beinonis based on today's rates. Ve'ilo shakil kiyukar delakame. And if you want to take something that's different than what the Torah entitles you to, in other words, you want to take ziburis, that's fine, but we're going to use Nissan rates to establish the value of the ziburis. So if that's the case, if you're going to do this, by the way, you're going to totally stymie the loan market. You're going to prevent creditors from wanting to lend money. Why? Because again, the creditor can say, listen, had I had my money, meaning not lent it to you, I could have bought property, even ziburis property, in accordance with present prices. So because I lent my money to you, I should have to purchase ziburis today at future Nissan rates. It doesn't make sense. Rather, again, if you want to compare the Nezikin case to any case, compare it to the case of Ksuva. What's the case of Ksuva? Ksuvas isha dina beziburis. Because we both say the halacha is that the Ksuva of an isha is paid from ziburis. The amrit le'ihi havli beinonis betzir porta. So maybe she'll say, listen, here's the deal. Husband, you're paying me on my ksuva, or ex-husband, you're paying me on my ksuva, I'm happy to go ahead and take a little bit less beinonis. In other words, you're obligated to pay me ziburis, I'll take a little less beinonis and we'll call it even. So the Gemara says, Amrla, he could say to her, Ishaklis kidinach shakol kidahashta. She says to her, listen, if you want to take what you're entitled to, you could take in accordance with present day prices, meaning the ziboris. However, if you want to take something you're not entitled to, you want to take ziburis, that's fine. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to evaluate the ziburis based on, we're using Nissan prices, right? We're going to evaluate it based on future prices. Mikom makom kasha. Ultimately, again, we're still left with the question. Amar Rava, we'll say, here we go. Called the Yoheb Le Memetav, Leis of Leif. So we'll say, Rava says, at the end of the day, when you damage another party, you have the right to pay back anything you want. Rashi says over here, called the Yoheb, it's the fifth wide line in Rashi, called the Yoheb Le Memetav, Yoheb Leif, Vechi Para Le Subin, Yitin Lo Misubin Mu'ulun Shalav. We'll say, whatever you pay back with, you have to pay back with the best. So for example, if you're going to pay back with bran, you have to pay back of the best of your bran. So the Gemara says, 1 second, first wide line, Vaha Meitav Sadeuksi, but that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says you have to pay back with the best of your field. Ella, Yasra, Papa Varav, Funabrei, Rav Yoshua, Mebei Rav, Parshua. They explain this in the following way. Kol Mili Meitavu. We'll say in general, all things fall under the category of Meitav, right? All things, meaning all metaltalin, all movable property, is called Meitav, meaning you have to give the best of it, but it's called Meitav. Why is it called Meitav? Di'i lo mizdabin hacham mizdabin masachrisi. Because we'll say the good news about movable property is what? Is what? There's always a market. The market may not be here, you may have to travel somewhere else, but you can always move movable property. Lebar me'ara, the less of le me'metav, keichi delikbots alei zavina. We'll say the one, so here's what's interesting. So bottom line, the Gemara says like this, that halacha lemaisa, we'll see this in Shulchan Aruch tomorrow, that halacha lemaisa again, when you damage another party, you in fact can pay back from anything you want, any item of value. Now again, we'll see, you should pay back from the best of whatever category it is. So for example, if I'm paying back with bran, I should have to pay back with bran, right? That's what the pause says. Yoshiv teaches me you could pay back with anything else, anything you want. The one thing is when you go ahead and you sell land, so land has to be made of. Land has to be Idis. Why does land have to be Idis, Rabosai? Because at the end of the day, here's the issue. When it comes to movable property, if I can't sell it here, I can always sell it there. Real estate, by definition, only agricultural real estate, only appeals to who? To a very limited local market. So in order to go ahead and make that real estate as liquid as possible, or the ability for me to sell, so Chazal, the Torah mandated that I have to pay back with the Meitav. So I can pay back with anything I want, but if I pay back with real property, I have to pay back with the best of the field in order to allow the damaged party to sell that field as quickly as possible to be able to recapture their losses. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up. We're going to do more halacha on this particular sugya tomorrow.